kind of an eventful weather day. Let's talk to Tom Skilling, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Tom, we got the, first snowfall of the season.
Yeah, you know, Anna, it's the first measurable snow at the airports since back on April 17th. So it's been 7 months since we've had a measurable snow. We had had flurries back on the 26th and 27th. You know, it's kind of interesting. Our average first date for the first flurries has been historically on or about October 30th. So that came a couple of days early. But the average measurable snow, a tenth of an inch or more, usually doesn't come until November 17th. So here we are on the 24th. We're a little bit late, actually, to get our first measurable snow. And, you know, it's interesting. I'd forgotten a year ago by this time, we'd already had 8.3 inches at O'Hare and 6.2 at Midway. Now, we wound up this morning with, about 8 tenths of an inch at Midway and about a half an inch at O'Hare. But some areas around have had an inch and a half to 2 inches by Romeoville and Homer Glen. Let's see, we had 3.5 inches, one location southwest of Rockford. And yet up here on where I am outside the home weather office in the Edgewater neighborhood, but nothing stuck. We've had some flakes of snow come down, but it didn't stick here, and there was only a trace up at Evanston. So it was a matter of moving away from the lake where you got some sticking snow this morning.
I was driving in, and I will tell you, there's that first measurable snowfall. We all forget about the slowing down part, and I saw a number of small accidents on the way, and it's just sort of a reminder, you know, to handle this weather a little differently.
Yeah, it really is. And the good news is, Anna, much of what's come down is going to be melting now. We're above freezing, and much of the snow fell with a temperature that either straddled freezing or was a little bit above it, and it fell on a fairly warm ground. So, you know, your early season snows don't tend to last all that long. They tend to melt for that very reason. And often these systems have to generate their own cold air. There is no great repository of cold air available to this storm system that's out in Kansas, and from this point forward will bring us rain today, tonight, and tomorrow, and even into part of tomorrow night. But what happens when these systems approach us on the front side, the air in our area down here, ground level is kind of dry, so as it starts precipitating into this dry air, you get evaporative cooling, and the system literally makes a little corridor of relatively chilly air in which snow falls. But once the air mass moistens up, then that evaporative cooling process stops, and you get it to go over to rain, and that's where we are now and will be for the remainder of this weather situation, this weather event.
Yeah, so I guess two questions. What should we expect for Thursday, Thanksgiving, and will we be able to eat Thanksgiving dinner outside? Is there any hope or chance of that? Because I know some people are planning this. They're going, I don't know if you've heard, Tom Skilling, but people are going into sheds. They're going into garages. They're figuring it out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the crazy world in which we live these days. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And I know, you know, people have taken to barbecuing their turkeys sometimes. That's become something of a fad. Well, I'll tell you something. It's going to be kind of cloudy as we go into Thanksgiving Day. We're going to have a high of about 51. So you'll need a pretty good jacket or light coat to sit outside and eat in that. And it will take a little bit of effort on your part. So it's not going to be warm like the 60s we saw last week, but it'll be mild. You know, to get a 51 at this time of the year, that's fairly mild.
Mm-hmm. Will you have to work Thanksgiving, or are you going to do something at your house?
No, I'm working. Mm-hmm. But you know what? My roommate, Sean Lewis, who I work with over at WGN, mm-hmm. Sean is quite the man about the kitchen. And so he loves to cook and bake and everything else. So he's already thawing the turkey. He's going to make a little turkey. And, of course, on my new diet, I can't eat a lot of stuff. But we're going to have, little smidgens of everything. He said, I'm going to give you samples of everything.
Nice.
So I'll have a kind of a form of a turkey dinner. How about you, Anna? What are you guys doing?
Well, I may be doing Thanksgiving for the first time myself this year, which is a bit daunting, Tom. You're used to my mom's recipes, and even my sisters have picked up some things, and you're used to this sort of cumulative effort of everyone doing the stuff.
Yeah.
And this year, I don't know. I mean, we're just thinking, maybe do we drop it off at each other's house? Like, my sister makes the best salad and my mom makes the best stuffing, and I don't know how to cook a turkey. So I wonder if that's the sort of the way we do it. I don't know. That's a thought. Hey, but you mentioned your new diet. Can we pause for a second and pick that up on the other side? There was such a powerful report on WGN TV. And I just want to talk to you about it, Tom, if you have a little time for us here.
Oh, sure. Sure, Anna.
Back here on WGN with Tom Skilling. And Tom, I know you talked about the weather. There's something personal that you shared on Facebook, and Dina Baer did a wonderful job on WGN TV.
She did.
That story is a must watch. It's like 8.5 minutes long. I cried. I learned. You were so candid about what you've been going through. Tell us about it a little, Tom. I don't want to sum it up. You do it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We've talked about this before, but we really did get into some of the guts of this whole thing that I'd never really talked about before. But Dina had come to me when I was going to have this gastric bypass back in March and said, "Hey, would you mind if I talk to you beforehand?" I said, "Dina, look, I don't know what I'm, you know, this is a new experience for me. I don't think I'm going to be much use to you. I've got to go through it to figure out what this is all about." But at any rate, the folks at Northwestern, which is where I had this done, my doctor, Dr. Hungus, and my surgeon said, after I was done with it, he said, "Would you mind if our people talk to your folks and maybe we did something on this whole experience for you?" And I said, no, doctor, I wouldn't mind at all. I said, "What you ought to do is talk to our Dina Baer, who for my money is the best medical reporter in the business." Mm-hmm. I mean, Dina does an amazing job.
Hands down.
And she's amazing. And so anyway, we went down and we did about a 2-hour interview at Northwestern with all of my Holly, my nutritionist, and Dr. Hungness, and the whole support staff there. And then we came home here and shot the rest of what was to turn into Dina's piece last Wednesday night here at the home. And I showed Dina what I eat, and Pat Butkus, I've been working with Pat, helps me on the meals, and I'm so grateful. She sat in on some of the nutritional meetings on this. You know, and as you know, you talk to a nutritionist, they say, "Well, you want so many grams of this and so many calories of that, and you want so many grams of protein." I don't know what all that means. I have no idea. And I'm trying to keep, you know, my normal daily job going too. It would take you a full-time effort to figure out how many grams of this you're to put together for your meals. But my meals today consist of little 2 and 3 ounce affairs, largely emphasizing protein. And so we got into that with Dina. I showed her, and Pat Butkus, who helps me with that, was here to explain to Dina what she prepares. Because you've got to be careful what you eat. This procedure involves an entire reorienting of what you eat, and it will do that the rest of your life. And I don't mind. I haven't found it bad at all. I find, you know, whatever they do in the surgery, they cut down some of the hormones that are screaming to you all the time that you're hungry. So that works out very, very well.
Yeah. And there's great video of you, Tom, holding up your old pants in your closet. Excuse me. And,
yeah,
and you've lost, like, what, over 100 pounds? You're down, like, 8 sizes or something?
Yeah. I'm down 112 pounds. I was at 292 at my peak. I'm down at 178.6 now. And I don't know what that works out to. I haven't done my arithmetic on that particular number because, you know, I've been following this weight as I go along. But, yeah, I'm down 12 suit sizes, 14 inches on the waist, 3.5 inches on the collar. I mean, it is the most miraculous thing. I'm getting into clothes the sizes of which I never, ever thought I'd revisit again the rest of my life. And here I am back in clothing the sizes that I wore in college and, you know, in high school. It's It's one of the biggest thrills of the whole thing is to watch the pounds drop off and how the body does that, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not a linear process. You'll go down about a pound and a half, and then you'll kind of plateau for a couple of days, and then boom, all of a sudden you go down another pound and a half, and this has been the way it's been going for ever since I had the surgery back in March. Bottom line is I've lost over 112 pounds. My cholesterol is normal. My blood sugar is normal. I'm no longer diabetic. I'm off my sleep machine, my sleep apnea machine, and I continue the medication. They put you on medication for cholesterol and all that, but they said, really, you're down below the threshold now, but we'll keep the medicine going because sometimes the body reacts to you taking it off suddenly. So my doctor has suggested I continue with that. But Anna, it's an amazing process. If anybody out there is considering this, go for it. I mean, it really is extraordinary what they do and the results of it.
Sounds like, I know you said this in the piece, it changed your life and just the way you're describing it. You look great, Tom. Let me ask you, do you feel great now? How do you feel?
I do. I do. Anna, you know what? I remember when I told my primary care physician, I said, you know, Dr. Chang, I've lost 100 and, well, by that time I'd lost 90 pounds. Oh, she said, you lost my daughter. And I thought, I hadn't thought of it.
A whole person.
Yeah. It's almost like you've lost a whole, you know, like you were carrying somebody else around with you. And I'll tell you, one of the things that pushed me to this was the fact I was out of energy. I'd walk three blocks and I was finished. I didn't feel well. I thought I had blockages in my heart and all the rest. And we went through all that heart screening. They checked the organ function to see if anything else was going on. And it turns out everything was normal. What wasn't normal was my weight and carrying all that weight around. And my family's always biased high on the cholesterol. It seems to be a hereditary thing, but I'm down in the normal range now. So it's stunning what happens when you shed all these pounds. It really is quite remarkable.
So powerful to me to hear you describe your dad and things most of us did not know, how he was overweight. He had he dealt with diabetes and high blood pressure and ultimately had a stroke and he could not walk again. So you started to see that you were on this path, too. It was like a wake up call.
Oh, I was. I got done with my 9 o'clock weather show and the people from our assignment desk were in the TV studio and said, hey, you better call out to Aurora. Your dad has been taken to the emergency room, and at the time the thought was he had fallen coming out of a restaurant and hit his head, and they didn't think it was serious, but they didn't have a neurologic bed out there at the hospital, so I immediately got in the car and drove out to Aurora, and by the time I got out there, they had found a neurologic bed at Loyola, and they had helicoptered my father, who had then gone into gone comatose. And I was met at the hospital by the chaplain and the head surgeon. This was at 12:30 at night, saying your father's had a mammoth stroke. And we can tell you he'll never be the same again. But we think we had better open up his head to relieve pressure, which is what they do in strokes. And, this hits you like a wall of bricks. My father was comatose, Anna, from that point, a year beyond that. And we always, we weren't sure he would ever pull out of the coma. And then when he did, he was bedbound the rest of his life. He survived 2 years beyond that. And, you know, we'd be confused as to where he was. He never ate normally again. It was to watch that happen to somebody you love was incredibly painful. There was no quality of life. And and yet my father, we asked him about that, and he said, I think there's quality of life, so that was the important thing. But he never really had a normal life. And what was really hard, Anna, was he couldn't even drink water, because after they put you on one of these ventilators, you aspirate anything you drink. It goes in your lungs, and you can develop pneumonia. So all they allowed us to do after he came out of the comatose state was to swab his lips with a little sponge to moisten them, and he would plead for a glass of water, and we couldn't give it to him because he would chew then on the sponge, and even the droplets of water he would get out of that, he'd choke on because he had aspirated it. I mean, you know, this is no way to live.
No.
And it is a wake-up call to what can happen if you let this wait continue to go out of control.
Yeah.
You can have some terrible things happen.
There's a lot to be thankful for this Thanksgiving, and I'm so happy this worked out well for you, but I'm super grateful that you and Dina Bear and the team there at GNTV shared this, because it is just so powerful, and it's out there. You can check it out on the website, and people can see your whole journey and your candor about going through it, Tom. So thanks.
Well, I'll tell you something, Anna. You know, it's like colon cancer and getting our colon screenings. Remember, it was Katie Couric who brought that to light.
Absolutely.
And then Al Roker had this gastric bypass. That's where, you know, many people first heard about it.
Yeah.
So if we can tell folks, hey, we've gone through it. Oh, you feel like a truck hit you when you first come out of that, you know, surgery. But within a day, they had the pain under control and everything else.
Yeah.
And it's been uphill since then. So thanks, Anna. My pleasure, and I feel honored to have had the chance and the platform in which to talk about it.
Well, have a great Thanksgiving, and hello to Maddie. I got to see her in the video, too, which was special. We talk about your dog, Maddie. So just have a great Thanksgiving. And
you, too.
We'll talk soon.
And good luck with the, putting on the chef's hat.
Thank you.
We'll be anxious to hear how that goes.
Thanks, Tom. We'll talk soon, okay?
You
Take
bet.
Care. Bye-bye.
See ya.